How's everybody doing? Was that a flash? What was that? Doing okay? Glad to have, it's supposed to be 83, I think, today on the island. Finally, we're back to the winter that we all deserve, right? We all missed from last year. We had some pretty ugly weather that we've been dealing with. And I'm going to do something a little bit, out of the mainstream as far as what we normally do on a Sunday morning here. We've been preaching our way through Jeremiah. We're now in Ezekiel. And we're going to be taking a break this Sunday because if you've been with us, anybody here, this is your first time this Sunday? I wasn't in here when you got a lot of people. Wow, so this is a trial for you. So maybe it'll go well and maybe it will not go well. We'll just see. How many of you non-church members have been here for more than 10 years? You're not a member of Island Baptist, but you have been. Why haven't you joined yet? Y'all keep coming back and back and back. Now we have the winter Texan season for us. If you're a new person here, we have seasons at Island Baptist, and it generally changes. The hair color changes. But we have a kind of whitish gray, and then it'll change to multicolors during the spring break time, and then it goes back to whatever color we have during the regular time. And our church is a seasonal because we're in a seasonal place. I mean, the island is a seasonal place. And so we have people that have been involved in our church, not non-church members, but in every respect are light members. They're here for 2-3 months out of the year. And, man, they come in and serve, they give, they participate. You'll see them taking up the offering of, you know, look around, the average person sitting next to you probably is not a church member. And our church averages 45 visitors a Sunday. And I don't know where your church is, but I'd be willing to bet, no matter how big it is, that our average is higher than yours. And it's a simple factor of where we are. Our church is not a big church. We're a medium church. We're on the small end of that spectrum. And membership-wise and you know, everything else, except for our ministries. And we always, this time of year, take an opportunity to let people know what actually is happening in Island Baptist Church, how God has blessed us and the things God is doing in our midst, and how he has used us to accomplish whatever he's accomplished in this past year. And so this is sort of the title of the sermon is the state of our union, if you will, our union, not the state of the union, but of our union, and also communion. So we're going to be doing both of those things here together. But I want to start off with the state of our union, and we've had a phenomenal year this year. We've had just strings of phenomenal years here at Island Baptist, strictly by God's grace. Not because we have anything or special in any way, because God has been gracious to us and allowed us to be a part of what he's doing. And our intention is just to stay right there and continue to be the kind of people that God can bless. And there is only a type of people that God can bless, and that's those who recognize that it's all about him and not about them. So we're going to be in two places in the Corinthians. First going to be in 2 Corinthians. That's a little confusing. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Sort of a theme verse for our conversation, or my monologue. Passage is going to be chapter 9, beginning in verse 8 and following. God has blessed our church. Part of the blessing is that some of you Winter Texans have been a part of our church and so faithful and like I said, in every sense a member. They give, they serve, they participate. Other than we just don't send them I don't know what we don't send you. We get everything else. I mean, I don't know. You don't vote in our business meetings other than that, and a lot of them don't care either way. Chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, beginning in verse 8, and it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you." Do you believe that? Yeah. What does that mean, all grace? So it means all. Whatever could be graciously given, grace means you didn't deserve it, but God does it anyway. He's able to make that abound to you. That always having all sufficiency, these categorical statements, you know, inspired by the Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, we have His own words here. Always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Do you believe that? I believe it because it's in the Word of God. I also believe it because I've seen it. That's what's happening here, if you will. A theme for this past year, a theme for the past several years at Island Baptist has been that verse and continuing. And it is written, "He scattered abroad, he gave to the poor. His righteousness abides forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food," speaking of God, "will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. and you will be enriched in everything for all liberality, through which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Like I said, just a theme of this past year, a theme of several years at Island Baptist. We're believing God it'll be a theme of this coming year as He's blessed us. Why does God bless us? Why do you have blessings? Well, He blesses you to be a blessing. That's what He does. And if you're going to run your life like the Dead Sea, which gets only receives and doesn't give, well, then that's what you're going to be. But if you run your life like the Sea of Galilee, on the other hand, you know, it's much go in the top end, goes out the back end. You know, God's just, you shovel out, God's got a bigger shovel. And we believe in that. We practice that here. We believe that God does that. And so the purpose of money comes into our church is not for us to have money. It's for us to give money. The purpose for us to have gifts and talents is not to say we have gifts and talents. It's to give those gifts and talents. The times and treasures that we have, the talents we have, it's all to be given. It's all to be expended. Life is short. You have an opportunity. You've got a window, a small window of opportunity to be what God's called you to be. And so that's our goal, whatever God wants us to be and however He wants us to be. And so, like I said, we're going to do a state of our union and not going to talk about every last thing that's happening in our church. We have tons of things. Of course, winter Texan season is a phenomenal time of our church. We have spring break ministry that's coming up. Also another phenomenal, completely different, but phenomenal time in our church. We have the quilting ministry that's going on right now during our winter, part of our winter Texan ministry, and just God just uses that, and there's just all kinds of testimonies. There's not enough time for us to talk about all the particular testimonies and all the particular things that God is doing. So what I wanted to do is highlight some of our largest ongoing ministries, and then also some of our newest ministries and the things that God's been doing in those things. And historically, the largest ministries that have happened in Island Baptist Church, and when I mean historically, I mean before I got here, and since I've got here, I've tried not to mess it up, has been children's and youth ministries. Our largest ministries, and especially now, God has opened the door for just tremendous ministries in these areas. Our children's ministry is underneath our children's director. Her name is Sabrina Hackey. She was in the earlier service, and I introduced her, and she's not here. She was here earlier, but I don't know if she's maybe in the overflow. If you're out there, Sabrina, you can wave your hand at whoever, but she's probably sitting in her office right now if I know her. She's already been through several. She's come to church. Don't worry about her, but you probably won't know her unless you're a third grader. Or you're a pregnant teenager, because that is where she shines. That's where she works and where she serves. And God has given her, through her, has blessed our church with some great ministries. Just to give you a report on the numbers that she's given me from the ministries that she's in charge of. And we have many people in our church who are involved in these ministries, not just Sabrina, and not to say she's totally responsible for it. Well, she is in the top level. She's the leader in that. But there's so many people that minister in these ministries. We have an Awana program every Wednesday night. The average last year was 43 kids every Wednesday night here coming through that ministry. Kids Club, which happened every Monday night over in Laguna Heights. We have another campus in Laguna Heights. 29 kids every single week. On Thursday nights, 20 kids. So a total of every single week, we were having, on average, 92 kids pass through the ministry of Island Baptist Church. Now, 92, and there's only probably 130 in this room right now. So, imagine what 90 kids would make a difference in this room, don't you think? Bring 90 kids in. Well, that's what we're dealing with. God's blessing us with these, and they are blessings. And there are some churches that I know of that don't want kids. The sound of kids, the noise of kids are trouble. I'm telling you, they're not to God. If you have a problem with kids, you've got yourself a problem with God, because God is all about kids. And so it's a blessing to see that God is working in our midst, and I think one of the strongest indications is that He's bringing kids to us, because that's His heart. I believe that. I believe God would choose a kid over us any day. I really believe that. If there's a choice between an adult and a kid, I think God's going to go with the kid. Of course, I don't know that there's it ever gets that cut and dry. But nonetheless, the ministry is so important. Sabrina, this past summer, or 2 summers ago, started a Monday through Wednesday program through the summer in which kids, you have vacation Bible school in your home churches where the kids come for 1 week or 4 or 5 days, and you're glad when it starts, and then you're glad when it's over. And her ministry stretched through the entire summer, Monday through Wednesday. She averaged 40 kids, again, out in Glen Heights, our other campus. Two vacation Bible schools that took place during the summer. One in spring break and one during the summer. We sent kids to camp in the children's ministry, had one accept the Lord as Savior. And so what a great ministry God has blessed us with. Like I said, 92 children passing through underneath the ministries of Island Baptist every single week through that ministry. And then we have the other largest ministry in our church is the youth ministry, and it's underneath our youth director, Irma Jackson. She is here. Irma, would you stand here? And I want you to stand right here in the front. Come on, Bente. A lot of people don't know her. Come right here. She's She's an awesome lady. I've known her. She was our financial secretary for a very long time and served faithfully in that. And now she's full-time youth minister. Yes, you can go sit down. She's not a very big lady, but what she lacks in stature, she makes up for in every other area of her life. She's just a phenomenal servant of God, and God has blessed through her. And she started in the youth ministry. She's been working in youth for a very long time, but she started officially in the youth ministry when she started working with our junior high 7 years ago, and she's been in charge of junior high ever since then. And she's been working with her high school for the past 3 years, and so she's been officially fully involved with them for 3 years. But just to give you some, here's the numbers don't lie. On Tuesday evenings, which is our junior high ministry, that's 7th and 8th graders, out of 30 enrolled, 26 attend on average. Right, show me where you got that kind of average, over 90%. Why would they come see her? We don't know. She doesn't fit the paradigm. I won't tell you her age, but she's older than me. And she's got better things to do with her life, and yet this is what she's doing, and God is attracting these kids to her, and it's because of her heart, it's because she loves them, and again, it's not just her, it's her husband, it's a lot of other people who are involved in that ministry, that God is using that. On Wednesday nights, we have 30 kids, which is our high school kids, our 9th through 12th grade that come. So that's 30 on Tuesday, 30 on Wednesday, and then Thursday evening, Irma started a sixth graders are a weird breed, are they not? They're neither elementary school nor do you want your kids running with an eighth grader, you know, when you've got a sixth grade kid, and many of us have been through that. And knowing that, we've seen that, we've bumped up against that here at Island Baptist, and it's just we seem to lose those sixth graders because they're not old enough to be in junior high, and we don't want them. They'd cause too much trouble to be in the elementary. Well, she started 2 years ago, or we're in our second year, I believe, working with the sixth graders. And so every Thursday, she has just sixth graders. Well, the average for sixth graders right now is 18. She's having 18 of nothing but sixth graders come on Thursday night. I think that's phenomenal. I really do. And God, again, why is this happening? Because God's blessing it. That's all there is to it. We're not doing anything special. We're not anything special. God is blessing it. On Sundays, Sunday school, averaging 20 kids coming to Sunday school. So on any given week this past year, there were 94 youth, that is older than fifth grade up through senior in high school. 94 youth coming through or underneath the ministries of Island Baptist Church. 92 children coming every single week. So that gives you a total of 186 kids. 186 kids passing through the ministries of Island Baptist Church every single week. That's phenomenal. A lot of you come from tremendous churches, and not to say anything about the ministries at your church, but man, those are tremendous ministries. Why is it happening? Because God's blessing us. And we Pastor Greg and I's favorite statement is, let's don't mess it up. What is your skill? Well, we try not to mess anything up. We try not to get in the way of God. That's what our skill is. So we had God did lots of progress among our youth this past year. We had a total of 80 different decisions either made at youth camp. We're going to be, by the way, having a fundraiser in a couple of weeks for youth camp. Camp is a big deal for us here. Our children's ministry and our youth ministry, camp is a big deal. And the reason why it's a big deal is not because we want to send these kids away. It's because God does miracles in their lives when they're away. God works tremendously. We've had a lot of them come to know Christ as personal Savior. Many of them make decisions to follow Christ in ministry and other things through camp. And so camp is not cheap, and sending kids, and a lot of these kids can't afford it. And so we're scholarshiping them. They're working. They're doing things. And so this is just one of the things they're doing to try to pay their way to get to go to camp. We don't care if you come and eat our food next week or whenever it is. Leave more food for us, that's fine. But please give. Please help us because we want to send. I think it was 42 kids, everyone. No, it's 42 this year. 58 last year and 42 this year that we're trying to go, and it's, how many? 70 this year. Did I tell you I wasn't going? Did I tell you that? I always go. She always makes me go, and it's not a make because God is doing tremendous things among our young people, and I want to be there. I want to see it, and I love the privilege to be a part of that ministry in any way that I possibly can, except from leading it. That's this little lady's. She's doing a phenomenal job. Again, these are ongoing ministries and things that are doing, and we still have a number of kids that are in the youth ministry that are coming on a regular basis, and we're not sure where they stand with the Lord. We don't know if they truly know Christ as personal Savior. And of course, that's our goal, that if they come underneath these ministries, whether it be children's ministry or youth ministry, that there are tons of problems and all kinds of issues, and we would love to help them with all those, and sometimes we can, sometimes we can't, but ultimately we want them to come to know Christ as personal Savior, because it's the relationship with Christ that's going to change them. It's what's, why are you here? Because God drew you in a relationship. Someone cared enough to minister to you. Someone cared enough to witness to you. Someone cared enough to preach to you. And so we're trying to care enough here. And we want God to continue to do that. And so we ask you, please pray for our ministries. Pray for these kids. Pray for all the things that are happening with them. So that's our ongoing ministries. They have been going for quite a while. I want to speak to you also now about our more recent ministries, which include our two food pantries, both here on this campus and also in our other campus in Laguna Heights, and also what we've done on the campus in Laguna Heights. I know some of you may be familiar and some of you are new and don't know, but we bought property over in Laguna Heights. This past year, it's been a year and a half that we've owned it. We've added a pavilion, which helps for shade and places to sit. We've also added two commercial bathrooms, handicap bathrooms out there, so they can accommodate all the ministries that are happening there. I'm going to tell you just exactly how and what those ministries are here in just a second. We purchased the property, like I said, on Laguna Heights in 2016. It's been a year and a half. We still owe $147,000 on it. And I say that for two reasons, because matter of disclosure, but also because of a matter of some people are bothered by debt. And so if you're really bothered by it, I know how to fix it. I can give you some suggestions. Now, we're making our note, and it's not a problem, and we are solvent in every way, and only because of the grace of God. Nonetheless, we still do owe these things, and it's God places on your heart to pay for it. Knock yourself out. But why are we in debt? I'm not a big debt person either. But there is such thing as good debt. There is good debt and bad debt. And you can certainly be in bad debt. You know what the difference between good debt and bad debt, don't you? It's a thing called ROI, return on investment. If you're making an investment, but you're actually getting nothing back, well, it actually wasn't an investment. That's not an asset. That's a... you're losing. You're definitely losing. So I want us to consider our ROI, our return on investment in this new campus that we invested in a year and a half ago. The ministries that are happening there, and I want to highlight these ministries for you. We have going on currently right there, out there, a ministry called Mommy and Me, which is, of course, moms and their children. 47 ladies involved in that, in Laguna Heights. English as a second language classes. We have two different classes, a total of 25 people attending those classes. Tutoring two young people currently. We've supplied school supplies for 43 children, again, through that campus in Laguna Heights. The Noel Project, which is a Christmas project. Noel, of course, makes sense. Stuffing stockings. We stuffed 300 stockings and gave them away to 300 kids in that community, believing that God has called us to minister, and God has certainly opened the doors to minister in that community. Our outreach ministries in that community, again, through that campus, through that property and the money that we spent there or are spending there. Trick or treat. We had, it's a house what we bought over there with property. So we went over there and started offering candy during trick or treat. We had 88 adults and children come through the doors in that process. Ladies retreat of 16, a glory project which started in 2015. I don't know if all of you know about the glory project. The glory project was a significant move of God in our congregation based upon a need. And the need is, or the problem is that our area up until past recent years was the highest per capita teen pregnancy rate in the nation. This school district, we beat all of you. I don't care where you're from. Some of you are from really tough places and inner city areas and stuff like that. I don't care where you're from. We were better than you in a very bad sense. Past couple of years, it's not been so. I think part of it has to do with this ministry, but they started this ministry with this. What do? We got girls getting pregnant, sometimes having two kids before they're graduating high school. What do you do with this? How do you do it? We didn't know how to address this. We just believed that God was calling us to this. And so our children's minister, Sabrina Hackey, and several other ladies and lots of men and people in our church backing them, just saying, let's do something and let's make this happen. Well, we've seen in that two-year process, we've seen God, we've seen 59 ladies attend this, come through this training, this teaching. 23 currently active in the Glory Project. We're talking about crisis pregnancy situations, little young girls, young women who are pregnant, no husband, no family, whatever. Both that project, the Glory Project, the Noel Project, the English as a Second Language Project, the tutoring, these projects are all ministries that are large ministries that expend quite a bit of money, and almost 100% of that money does not come out of our church budget. It is funded from people like you. People have a heart to give. And not that we don't have a line item for these things. We quite often aren't spending those line items because we don't need to. We have so much designated money because people believe in these ministries. And again, why is that happening? Because God's blessing it. That's why. How do you know when you're doing what God wants you to do, when you don't have to spend any money on it? It just happens. Well, that's a lot of what's happening. And then we have our food pantries, which are very large ministries that happen through our church. We have a food pantry in Laguna Heights, which is feeds between 40 and 80 families. 100 people per Saturday are being fed out there. I had 15 people accept the Lord through that ministry this past year. Again, that's happening on our campus in Laguna Heights. And then we have a food pantry here in on the island that's administered out of this church, out of those two glass doors in the back. And if you're here during the week, Monday and Tuesday, you'll see lots of people lined up because we're giving away free food. Now, it's not free. This food that is administered through our two food pantries are paid for by church members and other people who want to donate to our church. And we buy money from the local food bank out of South Texas. And we buy that food and then we distribute. It's free to them, but it's not free for us. And so I want to give you an understanding of how much food actually is going through these food pantries. The Laguna Heights food pantry ministry that goes on out there every Saturday distributed 56,000 pounds of food this past year. So anybody here working that food pantry? So that's why your back and arms hurt, and that's why your arms are a little longer, because 56,000 pounds, that's tremendous. Guess how much was administered through the food pantry here on the island? SPI, our South Padre Island food pantry, administered through this campus, 167,000 pounds were administered. So three times the amount that's going out through Laguna Heights is going out through here. So God, I mean, that's, again, why is your back hurting? Because you hauled all that into the church and then you hauled it all back out of the church, handing it to people. And God has used, again, these ministries to bless people. And it's not just food that we're giving away. We're giving away Bibles, devotionals, a safe and friendly place, a place of prayer. They have prayer time together and there's a time of testimony and other things. Like I said, 15 people accepted the Lord in the ministry out there in Laguna Heights. Group prayer. One lady came recently and just said, you know, I come for food, but actually I really come for the prayer because I don't get prayer anywhere else, she says. And of course, we've had a bad winter. We've given away heaters. We've given away beds, furniture, recommended clients for promising job positions. We've done all that we possibly can however way we can to help these people. Of course, invitations to be a part of our church and the ministries there, suggestions for work opportunities, personal hygiene items like toothpaste, toothbrush, soap. We also have a significant homeless community that lives on the island. And they don't live in any of the condos or hotels that you're in. They're homeless. They live on the beach. They live in the dunes. South Padre Island, the cities of South Padre Island, just a little over 100 acres. And yet the island itself, running all the way to the jetties, is thousands and thousands of acres. Most of it's unsettled, open areas. So people are camping up there, living up there. Some years have lived up there. And so these people come to our church. And so it's an opportunity, again, to minister to them. And then, but again, back to our conversation or my conversation with you about our return on our investment. That's $447,000 that we still owe on that property out there. Well, let me line up the numbers for you, the things that I've said now. We line up all these ministries of what's happening in that campus that we invested in a year and a half ago. Mommy and Me program, the English as a second language, school supplies that were given out, the Noel Project, the trick-or-treat ministry that happened there, the ladies' retreat, the food pantry that goes on out there. Sunday night services, by the way, preach Sunday night service over there. You're welcome to come. I hope you speak Spanish because that's what we speak out there. So you're welcome to come every Sunday night. We have a ministry out there, again, on that campus. Kids Club, Vacation Bible Schools, Summer Kids Ministry, all the numbers that were involved in that, all the people that were touched through that, was a total of 2,435 people in 1 year. So here's the return on your investment. You want to run the numbers. $147,000 divided into that number is $61, a little over $61 a person. It's not bad ministry. That's a great return on your investment. Say if we spent $1 million and only one came, praise God, right? Well, it's doing way better than that. It's doing way better than that. And of course, we're in a season in our church of just all kinds of records. We had a record attendance this past year. Over 1,200 people were in church during our spring break ministry. Not in the church here. We had church, but we had to rent the convention center up there in order to accommodate that many people. We've set the highest budget we've ever set this past We approved this past January a budget of $600,000. That's more than $100,000 of any budget we've ever approved, higher than any budget we've ever approved. And our finance and budget committee were scratching their heads trying to figure out how, because that's, they shook down everybody they could, and they still come out with a budget of $600,000, and we've never had that much in receipts. As far as I know, we've never had that kind of receipts in the church. So how do you set a budget higher than you've ever taken in? Well, guess what our receipts were? They set that budget, well, they planned that budget in October and November, and we didn't approve it until January, but by the end of December, guess what our receipts were? Higher than $600,000. So we set a budget on faith, and then we don't have faith anymore. I guess we got to set it to $700,000 or $800,000 or whatever, because we already see that God has done this. We've already seen God do $600,000. So there we have a state, if you will, of our union. There's so many other things that are happening in our church. And like I said, we have other things we need to do here. But just to let you know kind of where things are, what our church does, we're not just a Sunday morning ministry. We're not just, this is just one of the many things that we do. And this is our third service, by the way, that we've had this weekend. And God continues to bless and use us. So we've talked about our state of the union. Now I want us to talk about the communion. Turn with me, you're in 2 Corinthians. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, where it speaks of these elements that are here in front of us, as I said to the kids, this picture that God left us to remind us of something significant that God has done for us, and started by Jesus Christ himself, but it was kind of started in the middle, if you will, in the middle of a story. In the middle of that story is that for centuries, the Jews have been observing a thing called Passover. Remember what happened in the Passover event? The Jews were prisoners. They were slaves in Egypt. And God came to deliver them, and he delivered them by 10 different plagues. And the final plague was the plague called Passover, the death of the firstborn. And God came to Moses and says, tell the children of Israel that I'm going to be passing through the midst of Egypt tonight. And everyone who doesn't have the blood on their door, he had them sacrifice an animal and place the blood on the sacrificial lamb and place it on the door. And everyone that does not have the blood, I will be killing the firstborn of every male, of every animal, of everything in Egypt that does not have the blood over their doors. And so this Passover event takes place, and it's the way that God delivers. And the Egyptians, of course, and Pharaoh pushes the Jews out of Egypt because of this, because he realizes that he's up against a force that he can't stop, namely God. But the only difference between the Egyptian and the Jew that night was not an ethnic difference. It was not a moral difference. It wasn't that the Jews were more moral than the Egyptians. The only difference between the living and the dead was the blood. So Jesus takes this commemorative meal, this Passover meal, which is a picture of a picture. The Passover meal was a picture of something that had happened in Egypt. But what happened in Egypt actually was a picture of what God had always planned to do. God had always planned to provide the blood of a lamb to take the place of sinners, to take the place of people who couldn't stand up, who had no rights before God, and to cover their sin and to cover their separation and to fix that permanently. He'd always planned to send his son Jesus Christ. Jesus was the ultimate Passover, is the ultimate Passover lamb. So he took this commemorative meal, like I said, which is a picture of a picture, and he converted it into a picture that teaches us, that's what we have here in front of us, these elements, this bread and this juice. He converts it into this meal. And notice what he says here in verse 23, Paul speaking, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, and the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Of course, they're in a Passover meal, right? He's changed that now. In the same way, he says that if you will, that lamb that was pictured back there actually was a picture of me. I'm the ultimate lamb. In the same way, he took the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The fact is that the sovereign God is going to be passing through the ranks of humanity someday, both the living and the dead. And the difference between those who will eternally live and those who will be eternally dead in a place called hell, the only difference, as it was true for the people of Israel in the land of Egypt, the only difference is going to be the blood. Jesus Christ has come. He's laid down his life. He sacrificed himself on a cross. He shed his blood so that all of us who place our faith in that blood, it's the same as painting the blood of a lamb over your doorpost on the Passover night. Now the blood stands between you and what you rightfully deserve. No ethnic difference. There's no moral difference that's going to change anything. It has only got to do with the blood of God's sacrifice. It's God's lamb. God's lamb. So when we choose that blood, we are choosing God's Son, Jesus Christ, and we're accepting His personal Savior. And that's what this meal is to commemorate. It's to commemorate that sacrifice and that application of blood. And so what is it and what is it not? Well, let's just discuss this very quickly. First of all, it is a symbolic supper. What I mean by symbolic, I mean this is dry little pieces of bread and very small glasses of juice, and that's all it will ever be and all it ever has been. They are only symbols. They are only pictures. If you have pictures of your kids, anybody have grown kids? I have my kids have just moved away, empty nesters. We're enjoying our lives. But I keep pictures of my kids. I just showed pictures to the young people on my iPad here. And the pictures are nice, but it's nice to look at the pictures and have memories of all the things they did. But suppose your kids came to see you and you paid no attention to them because you loved your pictures. Just want to look at my pictures. You know, go away, son. You're bothering me. You're eating my food. The pictures don't eat my food. Pictures don't talk back. You know, how crazy would it be to choose the pictures over the reality, right? Well, that's all you have in the Lord's Supper. These are only pictures, guys. Now, I would say that only pictures is sort of an understatement, and let me correct that. I'm going to correct that in just a minute. It's not that this isn't serious and not that it doesn't matter, but they are only pictures. This never changes into his body, and it never changes into his blood, and I say that on several levels, but I can be authoritative just simply on the process here. Jesus, by the way, who breaks the bread, this conversation? Jesus does. With what? With his own hands, does he not? So when he says, this is my body, where was his body? He was still in the possession of his body, was he not? His body had not been broken. So it doesn't make sense for us to say that this would have ever been anything other than symbolic, because the disciples would have taken it no other way. They were used to Jesus speaking in symbolic terms. When he says breaks it with his own hands and says, this is my body, they're saying, oh, I get it. He's talking symbolism. Yep, that's right. And at the same time, when he says, takes the cup and says, this is the blood of the covenant, my blood, where was his blood? Still inside, he hadn't shed his blood yet. That was the night he was betrayed. He wasn't crucified till the next day. So it wasn't in the original supper his real body and blood. How would it ever be his real body and blood under any other circumstances? It makes no sense. Again, I'm not coming against anybody's denomination or teaching, whatever. I'm just trying to say, let's be Bible people. Let the Bible speak, okay? Stay with whatever your church, I don't care. Stay with the Bible, though. The Bible, Bible, Bible. The Bible delivers us from bad theology, and it's poor theology to think this turns into his blood and to his body. It's just, and it messes up a lot of other things. So it's a symbolic supper. It's not a means of salvation. He says, do this in remembrance of me. Remembrance of what? Remembrance of that I've already applied the blood and the body of Christ to my life. How can I participate in a supper of remembrance when actually I've never done that? I've never trusted Christ as Savior. I can't participate in this. It's not a means of salvation. It's a remembrance of salvation. I've never been saved, never trusted Christ. I don't have a part in this. I have to have already applied in a spiritual sense, trusting Him as Savior, that His real body and real blood be applied to me by faith. I'm trusting Him. Then I'm, as I come to this meal, I'm reminded, but I can't be reminded of something I've never done. It makes no sense. It's a meal of remembrance. It's also, look at verse 26. It's also an acted out sermon. For as often as you eat this bread, he says, and drink the cup, doesn't say often you're supposed to, but as often as you do, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. What is proclamation? It's what I'm doing, isn't it? Anybody here want to be a preacher? I would not recommend it. I enjoy what I do. But it's tough. It can be real tough. Especially because when I stand up here and speak, I'm supposed to be speaking on behalf of God. That's pretty scary. Because what if I mess up? What if I do? Because I am, in myself, a mess up. I mean, I just don't have it all together. I'm sorry if that's what you were hoping for. I mean, you can leave right now. But I'm a mess up. And so to get up here and be responsible for speaking to a group of people on behalf of God is a serious responsibility. Proclamation is a serious responsibility, not to be taken lightly. When we take of these pictures, we're preaching a message. So what if in my messages I just took them nonchalantly? I didn't care how I lived. I didn't care the kind of life, the kind of things that I said. I just got up on Sunday mornings and told you a bunch of stuff that I thought. What would happen to me? Not good stuff. I'm incurring wrath upon myself. Notice verse 27. Notice as you preach this sermon that you're going to be taking in just a second. As you preach it, that's what it is, an acted out sermon. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, frivolously, not considering it, taking it in a way that just says, I don't care how, it doesn't matter how I live, I'm just going to take this bread and juice, no big deal. Jesus did all this stuff for me. I can do whatever I want. Well, whoever does that in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the body. For whoever eats, verse 29, and drinks, eats and drinks judgment to himself. You don't want that. If he does not judge the body rightly, it's the same as a preacher getting up here and not considering the stuff that he's saying being worth anything. Or the responsibility he has to speak to a congregation on behalf of God as being worth anything. He's got some tough stuff coming for him. Likewise, for us to participate in an acted out sermon in a nonchalant way, in a frivolous way that means nothing to us, and we just kind of, oh yeah, I do this stuff. You're in trouble, boy. You got some problems, and your problems with God. So if that's your plan, may I suggest to you, don't participate. This is not the Savior's Supper. It doesn't ever say that. Call the Lord's Supper. If you have no intentions of following as Lord, don't participate. It's not for you. I'm not saying you're not saved. Glad you're going to be in heaven. But you got some stuff to learn. And one of the things you need not do is participate in the Lord's Supper, since you don't intend to follow him that way. So like I said, it's only pictures. But God takes it, he takes his pictures very seriously. It is a meal of remembrance. It is a meal of, therefore, rededication and self-examination. Look at verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. It's a serious business what we do here. It's serious business. We proclaim his death, that's past tense, until he comes, that's future tense. So we're preaching the whole story of Jesus in a very brief process of taking bread and juice. I'm proclaiming what he's already done for me and the salvation that can only come through the shed blood of Jesus Christ to a world that doesn't know him. And I'm also proclaiming that there is an end to this process until he comes. The clock is ticking. So this is serious stuff. So I want to ask if you would join me in bowing our heads and closing our eyes as we take this opportunity before the Lord's table and the seriousness of this picture process that he takes us through of remembrance, that we would examine ourselves. I can't examine you, really, but you can examine yourselves. Let a man first examine himself, and then let him take of the bread and of the cup. Let's just take a few minutes of self-examination in which we're coming to grips with this lordship thing. He's not just the Savior. He's the Lord. It's great that you have him as Savior, but are you following him as Lord? If you have no intentions of following him as Lord, then this supper is really not for you. So let's just take a few minutes. God, we're thankful for pictures and what they remind us of. We're thankful for the picture of the Lord's Supper that you left for us to remind us of where we really stand and what we really have and what really connects us with God. It is communion. It is communion. It reminds us that we only have communion only because of what you've done, not because of anything that we've done. Because you've been broken in little pieces like these pieces are. That's the only reason why we have communion. Because your blood was shed like these cups are full of juice. So it's our only standing, our only hope before God is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, you've done so much for us. You're our Savior. Lord, we must also follow you as Lord. We must examine ourselves. God, we ask for your cleansing right now. God, we ask that you would put your hand right now as we participate in this on things that you disagree with. That it would truly be the Lord's Supper that we observe, not something we want to do, not something we act. But the reality of what you've done for us and who we're supposed to be in response to that. God, I thank you so much that we have the privilege to do this. Thank you for the communion we have with you and with each other. It's in your name we pray. Amen.